See, it's good to see everyone this morning. Amen. The smiling faces. I'm just so thankful, like Pastor Jay said, about grilling and eating and spending time with family. My son and I had tostadas. We didn't have grill. We didn't grill. So he loves to grill, but he didn't. Yesterday we were out shopping, and then we got home, and he decided he wanted something more simple. He didn't want to stand out there in the heat. So this morning, since we're celebrating the 4th of July weekend, I have a little bit of history and about the Declaration of Independence. And on April 19, 1775, during the battles of Lexington and Concord, Massachusetts, the first shots were fired between colonists and British troops, starting the American Revolution. After these first military conflicts, tension between Britain and her American colonists continued to mount. In other words, it just got more and more. The fighting got worse and worse. So finally, on July 2nd, 1776, the Second Continental Congress voted for independence from Britain. 2 days later, on July 4th, the Congress approved the final draft of the Declaration of Independence, which had been written by Thomas Jefferson, edited by John Adams and Benjamin Franklin. On July 8th, the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence took place at Pennsylvania State House, now Independence Hall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Later that same day, other readings occurred in Trenton, New Jersey, and Easton, Pennsylvania. Printer John Dunlap made about 200 copies of the Declaration with the date of July 4th, known as the Dunlap Broadsides. These were distributed throughout the 13 colonies. However, it wasn't until August 2nd, 1776, that the Declaration was officially signed, and John Hancock, President of Congress, was the first of 56 delegates who signed this enlarged version, writing in big, bold letters. It was on August 4th, 1776, after delegates of the Continental Congress had signed the document, that the Declaration of Independence was official. John Adams considered July 2nd the day when Americans declared their independence. But we celebrated on July 4th, and the paperwork was not signed until later on. But I'm happy to say that I can celebrate this great independence declaration along with everybody else. So I like to pray and get started with my message. So Father God, I thank you this morning again, Father God, for such a wonderful country, such a great country with freedom to celebrate the independence, July 4th, Independence Day. So my message is related to freedom. And in Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." I try to think of a illustration of a yoke, and I thought about filling up a trash bag and using that as an illustration, because I don't live in the farm. I wasn't sure where to get a yoke, and it would be a huge thing, because in that time, and then they would What they would do is they would set two animals together, and then it would lead their either out in the field or their buggies or whatever. Stand fast means to stay where you are, Paul asserts, because of the benefits of being free from the law and the flesh as a way of salvation and the fullness of blessings. Being free means to freedom of deliverance from the curse that the law pronounces on the sinner who has been striving unsuccessfully to achieve his own righteousness. Sometimes before we come to Christ, we think that the things that we do are right and they are in right standing with God. And we'll have this God back us up because we're doing all these good things and helping people and giving people. But it's not until we come to know Christ that we really truly know our freedom. And then it goes on to say, but who has now embraced Christ and the salvation granted to him by grace? In other words, when we come to Christ, it's when we really truly experience that freedom from the law of religion. I have a Catholic background, and there's always things to do and not to do. There's a way of doing things, and we pray the rosary, and we go to church, and we stand, we read certain scriptures, and it seems like all the time we read the scriptures that the priests are directing us to pray. So when we come to Christ, we have that freedom to worship the Lord. I worship the Lord when I'm in my car and I swing my arms up and I pray and I come against the enemy and I'm raising my fist and probably people beside me are wondering, what in the world? And so it goes on to say, entangled again, better translated to be burdened by, oppressed by or subject to because of this, its connection with a yoke. In other words, what the scripture is telling us is not to go back and get entangled or go back and say, well, this is how I used to do it. So I'm going to go back and do it this way and be again tangled up in the rules and laws of religion. The yoke of bondage, yoke refers to the apparatus used to control a domesticated animal. The Jews referred to the yoke of the law as a good thing, the essence of true religion. But Paul is speaking to the church, and Paul urged that for those who pursued it, it was a way of salvation. The law was a yoke of slavery. In other words, when we go back to the things that we were doing before we accepted Christ, then we become again connected to those old ways and those old things without moving on to the freedom that Christ has given us. In Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. We know that Christ died on the cross to set us free. We were born into sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, and then we were born, then we are born into sin. But Christ died that we would be free from that. He died on the cross so that we would be free from sin. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And here he's talking about not dying physically, but dying spiritually. And you can tell when we do something wrong, right away we know that it's wrong and it's sinful. And the law of the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of life in Christ, sets us free from the law of sin and death. And then freedom in Genesis 3:45, found in obeying God. So when we obey God, we are set free from the law of sin and death. In Genesis 50:4-5, often results from being trustworthy. The freedom comes when we are trustworthy to the Word of God and we depend on Christ, we rest in Christ, we believe in Christ, and our whole life is dependent on Him. Romans 5:20 says, freedom comes finding the freedom to obey. In other words, when we obey the Word of God, we find freedom. And it's so relieving because, I wish I had a yoke that they would attach the animals to, because those things were, you know, they would weigh them down and they would have to pull hard. And you can see the animals, you know, now farmers have tractors, and the tractors that they have now are computerized and air conditioned and you name it, and it's got everything in them. But back then it was, they had to put this yoke on the animals and then the animals would pull. And so I wish I had an illustration, because it's awesome. It's awesome the way, in fact, if I would have brought a trash bag full of things that we tend to carry, it just weighs us down. It's like when we start worrying about something, anything, it starts weighing us down. It starts stopping us. If we get ill and we start worrying, and our mind starts going and going and going, and oh my word, and it starts weighing us down. And when we trust God, when we have faith in God, when we come to that relationship with Christ, it makes it easier. The weight is easier. Then we can stand up straight and not be bent over with the weight of the world, like right now with all this chaos. Sometimes if we listen to too much news or too much negativity, we're going to get weighed down and we're going to get oppressed. And it'll be hard for us to straighten up. We have to go back. We have to trust God. We have to depend on Him, that He knows what the outcome is going to be. 1 Corinthians 8:10 through 13 says, what Christian freedom is all about. This scripture explains what Christian freedom is all about. It's all about not caring the weight of the world. That's not our responsibility. That's not for us to be carrying around the weight of the world. We are to trust God, keep walking in Him, keep praying, keep decreeing and declaring His word, because His word is true. His word is yea and amen. His word never changes. It's always the same, always the same.
Yes.
And it gives us freedom, freedom. In John 8:33-36, it says, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And then Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, he's talking about Jesus. When we accept Jesus, he makes us free. You shall be free indeed. There's no two sides to this. There isn't another question. He sets us free. Once he sets us free, we're free indeed.
Amen.
And we are to receive that.
Yes.
Yep, we receive it in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting. In other words, your life changes. It does a total turnaround. Total turnaround. And we face, when we were facing south, now we're facing north towards Christ. And it's such an awesome life because we are free. Not free to go about and do things of the world. Perhaps run around and go carry on in things that we shouldn't be carrying on. But we are free from the bondage, free from the yoke of slavery, free from that yoke that was holding us and bending us over. We are free. It's an awesome freedom.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me. Come. He's inviting. He's inviting us to come. All who are labor and are heavy laden.
Yes.
And I will give you rest. When we come to Christ, he gives us rest.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's calling us to come. Come. Come, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Those that are heavy, when you're heavy and you're burdened by the things of this world, by the sins that so easily entangle us, says, take my yoke upon you.
Yes.
Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul.
Yes.
How awesome is that, to find rest? Sometimes we're up during the night because we can't find rest, because we're so heavy. We're so, our souls, our minds are just going from the chaos of the day, or because we're sick, or because we have issues with our family and closest friends, or because we go to work and there's a lot of chaos, and we may not want to take up that chaos, but sometimes if we don't know how to let it go and let God, I've learned to do this. Let it go and let God. Then it becomes heavy on us, and we become worried. And then when we go to lay down to rest, we can't rest because our minds are going, our bodies are going. because of the cares of the day, because of the things that we did that we shouldn't have done, because we didn't trust God with our sickness. We didn't trust God with our business. We didn't trust God with our families. We didn't trust Him. And so our minds are going, and we can't find rest. And even if it's at night, our bodies are tired and weary from carrying those things. And this is what he's talking about here, is the sin that so easily entangles us. And we can sin by worrying, because then it becomes real heavy on us. It becomes real heavy, and we're not trusting God. And God wants us to trust Him. Trust Him before anything else. We can worry about our children, how we're going to teach them. Right now, they're not in school, so parents have to homeschool their children. So we become tired, we become weary, and instead of running to God and trusting Him with His Word, and trusting that He's going to take care of us, and He's going to lead us in the way that we should go. And that yoke of that heaviness that we're carrying around, He will take it once we put it down. He will take it. Sometimes we do not see the answer, but it's okay because the answer's there. So we need to start thanking God that the answer is already there, even though we don't see it. Even though our bodies are still aching and our bodies are still hurting and our business doesn't seem to be flourishing like it's supposed to. And people are owing us because our we made a contract with them in our business, and they're not coming forth with the finances. But when you trust God, the finances will come. It's amazing. It's amazing. So, sure. So, Father God, I thank You that we go to You and we trust You, and that whatever we're carrying, whatever bondage, whatever yoke, whatever sin, if we lied or gossiped about somebody or something, sometimes we think that a white lie is nothing, and You can just take it away. And it's a lie. Once we lied, we lied. Once we worried, we worried. And Father God, I just thank You that You go with us, and You give us that grace to lay all of those things before You. In Jesus' name.
Talking with Elder Ron before the service, and he was mentioning a video that they had watched last night about the end of the Chopped or whatever it is out in Seattle. When it was coming to an end, they had a group of about five or six people that were out there witnessing to people throughout the week before it all shut down, and it was about an hour and a half long, he said. And there were numerous people. Some were even on the front lines, like the leaders of the whole thing. Yes. After they had come back from praying with these people, their hearts had already changed. Yes. You know, it wasn't perfect, but it was huge steps in the right direction. And we've talked about that several times over the last several weeks, about how powerful prayer is in times like this. And how important it is for us as Christians to keep praying. Because that's one of the things that we've talked about, praying about people changing their hearts and changing their minds and changing the way that they believe, the way that they've been taught has been so wrong for so long that that's kind of what they just fell into, and they see that as reality. And nothing can be further from the truth. God's love is the truth.
Yes.
And I just pray that those people that were affected by that, that this is a permanent change, not just one for making other people feel good for a little while, that this is a permanent thing and that things start to turn around. Because we so desperately need that to start happening, not just in Seattle, not just out west, but everywhere in this country.
Right.
Amen. So, Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the warriors that you have placed here on earth to not only defend our country, but also to defend you. We thank you, Lord, for giving people the courage to step out and speak out on behalf of you and your name and your message, Lord, and to get that out to everyone who needs it. We thank you for their strength. We thank you for their courage. And we ask that you continue to do that. And not just in them, but get that fire burning in all of us, Lord. And even for the ones that can't make it out to go do things such as that, we still have the ability to pray, Lord, no matter where we're at. God, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And we pray, Lord, for this nation. We pray for our community. We continue that prayer of healing and that prayer of love. Reach out to each and every person. Touch their lives, touch their hearts. And if they're in that place of confusion and they've got those feelings of anger and of hatred, Lord, release that from them. Show them your mercy and show them your love, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your power and your grace.
And we thank you for your freedom. I would like to thank my brothers. My oldest brother was in Vietnam, and he's been in the hospital since the 1st of January. He fought in the war of Vietnam, was very close to that Agent Orange. My youngest brother was in the service in the military for over 20 years. He and his wife was deployed 4 or 5 times to Iraq. So I celebrate them. I thank them for their service. And for all the other men and women that have served and have given their lives for our country. So, Father God, I thank you so much for this nation. And I thank you for all the men and women that have served for us to be free. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you continue to watch over this nation. And you bring peace. And you bring love. And where there has been hatred, you've been bringing love. Where there has been division, you have brought unity. I ask for unity throughout this country, throughout this nation. And Father God, I thank you for the leaders of this country. I thank you for the president. And Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you uphold him and you strengthen him and you cover him with your precious blood and you cover him with our prayers. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. Father God, I thank you that you give us the strength to continue to stand in the gap for this country, for this nation, and for each person, Father God. And I pray for this disease that has come to try to destroy your people. I speak to it and I say it, stop in Jesus' name. Stop in the name of Jesus. Stop destroying and taking people's lives, young and old. It has no respect. And I speak to it this morning and I say it, stop in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Father God, just protect us throughout this week. We thank you for all of the many blessings that you've given us and our families, and just continue to do so, Lord. And again, give us the strength and the ability to make a difference in this world and to be the light that you placed us here to be, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.